And thinking of people who are special, our next guest is special. His name is Michael Comas, and he is a demoer and a trainer and a wizard.
He is one of the best demoers, too. He's great entertainment.
And he works for a company called Key Code Media, and we'll have Michael on in just a few seconds. Michael Comas demos and trains for Key Code Media, which is a major Avid reseller here in Los Angeles. And when it comes to Avid workflow and technology, nobody can demo it better or explain it better than Michael. He's got all the answers. So we're delighted, Michael, to have you join us this evening.
Well, thank you very much.
And he's got good jokes.
Well, there's wait. What are you saying here?
That's, you know, that's the quality of a great demo. You got to throw in a few jokes.
You got to throw in some zingers, and of course they can't be the old ones that are canned. And Larry, as a trainer, I'm sure you've never had to do that.
No, I never used the same joke twice because I can never remember them from one day to the next.
I did appreciate being called special, though, and I wanted to clarify, not on a short bus special, but then you said I'm the best one around, so I guess I got to take the good with the bad, huh?
Michael, for people that are not necessarily on the West Coast, tell us what Key Code Media is.
Well, Key Code Media is pretty much the industry leader in terms of digital media solutions.
Michael, have you ever heard any technology company say, excuse us, we are last in the industry and we're proud of it? Once, just once.
And we try harder.
Well, after I've left them, they've become the worst. Oh. So in retrospect, yes, but not currently.
All right, I'm done now. Go ahead. Key Code Media is the leader in what?
On a more granular level, Key Code consults, sells, integrates, also services and trains on basically any portion of gear that you're going to find in an edit bay or on location or in post. We have a team of course, salesmen. Someone's got to make a living, as well as engineers and trainers such as myself that can pretty much construct workflows out of old technology and new technology to make sure that you can get your project out on time.
Well, you talk about things like workflows and post-production workflows. What does that mean to you?
What it means to me is each person obviously has their own specialty, especially when it comes out here to the studio system. And in order for everyone to be successful, they have to be able to interface with people who are higher up in the food chain, lower in the food chain, farther along in the post-process, and you have to be able to interface with those people. And so when we talk about workflow, we're talking about getting that footage, getting that media from the party before you, working with it, and getting it to the people after you with as less headaches and as less mass emails as possible.
Well, you do a lot of work for the major studios. Are they more focused on the technology that you're providing or the whole integration of workflows? And in other words, what are they asking from you?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question. What they ask for us traditionally is enabling technologies, and what my boss likes to call it is disruptive technologies. And basically that's new workflows and new techniques to kind of shake up the system, to kind of change how things have been done for the past decade, 15 years, and try and streamline those processes, whether it's eliminating the concept of an offline versus online workflow and going straight to online, whether it's getting dailies on a mobile device or on a peer-to-peer sharing network as opposed to your standard DVD, being able to jump into that realm is something that's very important for the studios.
One of the things that's hot for the independent producer is this whole idea of a tapeless workflow. Are the studios interested in that, or are they really staying with tape?
Well, I don't think they're quite at that point yet. Obviously, Red is taking the consumer and prosumer market by storm. There are some obviously major proponents of the digital workflow, meaning everything is digital from the inception. But there's still a lot of people who are doing film. Hollywood's obviously its own microcosm. So the things that are done out here in Hollywood aren't really done the same way outside. So, and I think you both know that. So I guess it depends if we're talking about people who aren't in the Valley here in L.A. or we're talking about people who hail from, let's say, Chicago, like where I'm from.
You know, it's interesting. I was doing a consulting for just a few weeks ago for a client that specializes in sound design and music, and they're still getting all their feeds on 3/4-inch U-matic. So I understand exactly.
It still exists.
Yeah, I hear what you're. And you know, DAT tape is not dead, I think 8-track cassettes are probably used somewhere professionally. If we can use EDLs, we can use 8-tracks.
Well, I've actually got a quick story about that. I had a client in today actually that's working on a very very large film, and unfortunately, I can't mention the client. But we were showing them an HD workflow where they could watch HD cuts only, full frame, full resolution over a T1 connection in real time. And, you know, here I am trying to show them HD. We're doing, you know, ProRes and DNX. And after we're done, they kind of look at me and they said, well, can you do 20:1?
Oh, no.
And I'm kind of looking at them like, you're working on this film that, you know, is going to make millions and millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, and you want me to do 20:1? Okay. Makes my job that much easier. Less manuals I have to read on new product.
Well, one of the things that I am interested is hearing your take, because, as you know, Michael and I are much more well-versed in Final Cut than we are with Avid. Mm-hmm. But talk to me about what we can do in an Avid environment to streamline the whole workflow, because we have moved from an offline to online, and anything we can do to avoid that online conversion is just a plus in my book. So walk us through how Avid is handling media these days and how it's being done on set and this whole workflow process. And the point of view is not from somebody at the highest possible reaches of the technology spectrum, but for the independent producer that's trying to figure out how to set their shop up and make sure things work okay.
Well, that's a very good question. Avid handles media a little bit different than Final Cut Pro. We have Avid has the concept of OMF and MXF, and basically that's taking whatever footage you're shooting and converting it into an Avid codec, an Avid format, and then being able to utilize that in a much more efficient manner. So you can typically do more streams of real time. While that's fantastic for getting more streams in real time, more real time effects, that also does hurt you, because obviously any footage you shoot in the field, you have to bring in and have it transcoded to an Avid codec. What Avid's introduced in the past year or so is a concept called AMA, which stands for Avid Media Access. And that's kind of Avid's first foray into playing with QuickTime native files. So those of you who are going out and shooting XDCAM, SD, HD, EX, P2, several flavors of P2, and even GFCAM on the lighter side, can actually put those in the timeline without transcoding, bring in all the media, and cut in that resolution. And so that makes it a lot quicker. What that pretty much means for us as far as light at the end of the tunnel is that it's probably going to open up to Red at some point and to some other QuickTime files. So what I'm hoping for is that when that happens, we can take some kind of project file out of Final Cut, flip it using Automatic Duck or some other conversion software, load it into Avid, and then Avid will be able to play the ProRes encoded media. So that's what I'm really hoping for, you know, by NAB.
In other words, a seamless workflow between the two, Avid and Final Cut, by sharing the same media structure.
That's correct.
And right now, all you can do is use the duck to do that, correct?
Right. And well, the duck has some.
Wait, stop. Let's explain what duck is for people that don't know.
It's a feathered bird that usually hangs out in lakes, and it goes quack quack.
Michael gets a better try.
Great bottle openers.
And makes great bottle openers. Absolutely.
Automatic Duck is a company run by, I believe, West Plate, who has a suite of applications for various nonlinear editors as well as graphic programs that are essentially translations. So you can take a project file from Avid or Final Cut Pro, run it through a special export, and it suddenly becomes a file that the other NLE can read. And right now that's the only way to get product files to and from Final Cut Pro and Avid. The problem inherent with that is the media doesn't transfer over because right. Avid works in a proprietary format. What the Duck has built into one of their plugins is an ability for references to be used. So when you import that session file, it imports a QuickTime reference, which then points to the original file. So conceivably, you can start editing right then. You just have a bit of a drop-off in terms of performance, and it's mainly used just for a down-and-dirty, get the product over before you convert the media to a usable format.
Michael, how familiar are you with Final Cut?
I'm actually a certified trainer.
Oh,
So yeah.
Well, there you go.
You've seen it.
In a perfect world, wouldn't it be wonderful?
You brought me on to talk about Avid, and here I am telling you that I'm a trainer. So
yeah. Wouldn't it be wonderful though to have Avid and Apple get together and make it a lot easier on us? I mean, obviously there's maybe business decisions here that prevent that from ever happening. But
definitely.
Boy, wouldn't that be just wonderful? I mean, do you find certain things that you love about Final Cut versus certain things that you love about Avid, and certain things you hate about Final Cut, and certain things you hate about Avid?
Totally. I started editing on D-Vision, then I went to Premiere, and so it was kind of a easy transition to Final Cut after Premiere, and I never got into the Avid insert and edit modes. You know, the yellow arrow, the red arrow. I've always just liked hitting A for the arrow in Final Cut, and just being able to click and drag and be done with it. So that being said, there's a lot of things that Avid does that I think are much more beneficial in terms of media management, in terms of doing 3D right out of the box, et cetera, et cetera.
Have you had a chance to fool around with the 3D in Avid in the timeline?
Definitely.
I've seen that thing. It works really well, at least in demo mode. It looks really cool.
Oh, it works fantastically. In fact, Keycode actually worked on it when Journey to the Center of the Earth, as well as Avatar. We actually provided the gear for that. The 3D actually is very cool. It basically tricks the Avid, kind of like the plugin that you can get for Final Cut. It basically takes the left eye and right eye using a program on the PC called MetaFuse, and from a program that's coming out on the Mac called Red Cine X, that actually takes the two files, melds them together into one file. You dump it in the Avid timeline, and even with the base Avid software, which is only about $2,500, you can actually output 3D to a monitor on your laptop.
Yeah, but do you have to wear those Anaglyph glasses while you're editing, kind of thing?
Yeah. As long as you have a right monitor or you get a right converter. Davio makes a converter, actually, that's rather expensive, but that'll convert to go to any monitor.
Michael, for producers that want to move projects between Avid and Final Cut, what key secrets do they need to keep in mind to make their life simpler?
Well, if they're doing an online and offline scenario, one of the things, and I'm sure you've preached this as well, is keeping your file hierarchy, whether it be P2, XDCAM, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of data hidden in those files that you may not be aware of. And when you're reconnecting to your online data, that's very important for the online solution to be able to find that. That's probably the biggest thing. If you're exporting an AAF or OMF, make sure you have plenty of handles, et cetera.
Et cetera. You're just going to end with et cetera?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sitting like a
there.
Pregnant pause just suddenly gave birth.
I'm baiting you.
Well, leave him wanting more, Michael.
Exactly.
And I was so struck by the brilliance of your answer that how is Keycode recommending the archiving of tapeless media? I wanted to ask that earlier and I got distracted.
Oh, there's two just fantastic ways. Right now, there's a product out there called Cache. Just CACHE-A, if you can find it.
Yeah, I know those guys really well, and you're absolutely right. They're brilliant.
Oh, there is. It's a network-based backup appliance. Actually, I have a whole video of it on my website. But what it allows you to do is connect this tape appliance to your laptop or on a network, backup data, keeps a catalog, so if you drop the machine down the stairs, nothing's going to break. It's on LTO4 tape, and that causes your insurance costs to go down. Which is fantastic for films that, spend, $100,000 a day on a shoot, and they're leaving all their data on one FireWire drive at the hands of FedEx. Another solution we're using is a company called Storage DNA, which actually does peer-to-peer data transfers and offers WAN and LAN acceleration. So you don't no longer have to go through the FTP, where it's, FTP up at a slow bit rate and then download FTP. It goes point to point, and it saturates the pipeline very heavily, so we can transfer large amounts of data at a very reasonable cost in a very short amount of time.
Michael, you got to be at LassiePug. You got to demo. You got to do something for us. You got to tell your jokes. You got to do your stand up routine.
You know what? I did it. I was a member of ShiftCPug, and I just couldn't compete with some of the guys out there. But I could certainly come out to the
no, come on, you're funnier than Larry Jordan.
He is. Here. All right. Now we're not going to go any further with this, Michael. For people that want to learn more about Keycode, what website can they go to?
Well, keycodemedia.com.
And if they want to learn more about Michael, quickly, where do they go?
MichaelComas.com, and both links are actually on the front page of your website.
And thank you so much, Michael Comas, Applications Editor and Workflow Specialist for Key Code Media.
Thanks. Great talking to you, Michael.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I also want to thank our guests on today's show, Michael Comas of Key Code Media.
Yeah, I got to call him. He's going to be at Lassie Pug next month.
His jokes are not as good.
Are you
going to
be at Lassie Pug next month?
What's the month?
March 24th.
Only if I'm invited. I'd never show up unless you invite me. Am I invited?
Absolutely.
Then
you're
I'll
always
be
invited.
There.
You're you can work with Michael and be funny.
We could do a tag team.
You could do a tag
something
team.
On stage. It'd be
it's your turn to do a joke.
Okay.